कुंज बिहारे। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 प्रभुपाद, मेदाय गौर हरिबोल हरिबोल हरि बोल हरि बोल, ने दाय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तनम के ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम के श्रील प्रभुपाद के निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 25 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ किंग पुरंजना वर्स नंबर 47 प्लीज रिपीट। खद्योताविर्मुखी च प्राक् द्वारा वेकत्र निर्मिते विभ्राजितं जनपदं यातिताभ्यां द्युमत्सखः। खद्योताविर्मुखी च प्राक् द्वारा वेकत्र निर्मिते विभ्राजितं जनपदं यातिताभ्यां द्युमत्सखः। खद्योताविर्मुखी च प्राक् द्वारा वेकत्र निर्मिते विभ्राजितं जनपदं यातिताभ्यां द्युमत्सखः। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग खद्योता ऑफ द नेम खद्योता। आविर्मुखी ऑफ द नेम आविर्मुखी। च ऑल्सो प्राक् toward the eastern side, dwarau, two gates, ekatra, in one place, nirmite, where constructed, vibhrajitam, of the name vibhrajita, janapadam, city, yati, used to go, tabhyam, by them, dyumat, of the name dyuman, Sakhah, with his friend. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charnaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. The two gates named Khadyota and Avirmukhi were situated facing the eastern side, but they were constructed in one place. Through those two gates, the king used to go to the city of Vibhrajita, accompanied by a friend whose name was Dyuman. Purport. The two names Khadyota and Avirmukhi mean glowworm and torchlight. This indicates that of the two eyes, the left eye is less powerful in its ability to see. Although both eyes are constructed in one place, one is stronger than the other in the power to see. The king or the living entity uses these two gates to see things properly, but he cannot see unless accompanied by a friend whose name is Dyuman. This friend is the sun, Although the two eyes are situated in one place, they have no power to see without the sunlight. Vibhrajitam janapadam. If one wants to see something very clearly, vibhrajitam, he must see it with two eyes and the assistance of his friend, the sunlight. Within this body, everyone is a king because he uses his different gates according to his own will. Although he is very much proud of his power to see or hear, he is nonetheless dependent on the assistance of nature. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Nama He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, so welcome to all of you for Saturday morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So in the beginning, I take blessings of all the senior devotees over here. All the devotees, especially seniors, like Shri Guruchan Prabhu, Sundarsham Prabhu, Ramnitai Prabhu, and all others, so that I can speak something worthwhile on this Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are discussing here from Canto 4, Srimad Bhagavatam's 4th canto and 25th chapter. And this is text 47. So this Upakhyan, Puranjan Upakhyan is being discussed. And we have begun this from some days. The discussion is happening every day on the different verses within Puranjan Upakhyan. So it's a very fascinating, scintillating story with so many of the lessons and technicalities that can actually be very intriguing for a mind. The technicalities which will come further in this chapter are actually quite mind-boggling. One thing is the verse, the entire Upakhyan is talking about Parokshavad, means what is being said is actually not the real meaning over there. Something else is the meaning. And Acharyas also say that this is Parokshavad combined with Adhyatmavad. When sometimes you can say something but you mean something else, but only in the mundane field. But this also has a spiritual meaning. You know, the meaning is also about Adhyatma, about the spiritual matters. So it's not just a, you know, ordinary Parokshavad, so to say, like that. So the entire meaning is actually about spiritual subject matter. And we see as the verses will go forward, the discussion actually gets quite complex and a lot of technical details do come in. So no doubt Srila Jiva Goswami calls that this is actually Jnana Mishra Bhakti being explained, you know, to Prachin Bharishat. So that Jnana element is going to reign, it's going to rule over. He says that Shuddha Bhakti Adhikari Tvam Amanvamano. शुद्ध भक्ति का अधिकारित्व नहीं था प्राचीन भरिषद का. सो दैट्स व्हाई मुक्ति साधन ज्ञान मिश्रा भक्ति उपदेष्टुम ही सेज. सो दिस इज अ डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ ज्ञान मिश्रा भक्ति एंड दैट्स हाउ यू फाइंड सो मेनी टेक्निकल डिटेल्स एंड यू कैन एक्सपेक्ट मच मोर हेयर स्प्लिटिंग फिलोसफी कमिंग फॉरवर्ड एज द वर्सेस गो अहेड लाइक दैट. सो समटाइम्स व्हेन स्केप्टिक्स of today's era, you know, when they hear about such technical details of scriptures, so it's very difficult for them to believe, you know, such sophistication of philosophy and all. Especially skeptics means doubt is everything, right? Doubt is everything, that's their philosophy. Srila Prabhupada, once a person came to him and said, Swamiji, my guru told that doubt is everything. So Prabhupada said, you begin following your philosophy by first doubting your guru. Doubt his own ideology first. If doubt is everything, you begin there, Srila Prabhupada said. So, oftentimes this philosophy actually in the mind of skeptic appears very attractive. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu shares when he began his study of philosophy in his college days. And the doubt or the confusion, that's what actually is prevalent even in the realm of philosophy, especially in the Western philosophy. So Ravindra Swarup Prabhu is reminded of, he had asked a professor, what is the definition of philosophy? You know, he said, now he was there, you know, joining this university in the temple university. He joined philosophy program thinking that there will be answers to the questions of life about who am I and what is the existence of you know, this material existence meant for, and you know, everything else. So he asked a professor of philosophy, what is philosophy? So he said, philosophy means to know with certainty what you are confused about. To know with certainty what you are confused about. So we can see actually these sort of people, at best they can reach to the problem description. They can never reach to the solution, actually. At best, you know, what's the problem? Maybe there also we are not sure whether they have the clarity of what is the problem. At least, but he is saying that's the goal of philosophy, to know with certainty what you are confused about, like that. So this is the problem, you know, even with the modern minds, especially because they are so much proud of their half-baked knowledge. Bharatri Hari in his Niti Shatak says, Adnyaha Sukham Aradhyate, Sukhataram Aradhyate Visheshadnyaha, Jnana Lava Durvidhagdam, Brahmapitam Naram Naranjayati. So he says, actually it's very easy to convince a person who is ignorant completely. Adnyaha Sukham Aradhyate, you can convince a person who is ignorant very easily because he doesn't know anything. You give him knowledge, he'll be convinced. Sukhataram Aradhyate Visheshadnyaha. And one who knows very well, you know, he has studied very well, such a person, it's also very easy to convince him because he knows very well. You explain logically and he will be convinced, you know, because he knows everything also very well. Jnana lava durvidhagdam. But one who is durvidhagda, one who has become, vidhagda actually means expert. Vidhagda madho, expert Krishna. So one who has become durvidhagda, durvidhagda means cunning or purposefully one who is very smart, so to say, cunning in his approach. So jnana lava, because of little bit knowledge, somebody has become very cunning, you know, very tricky in his presentation and in his motivations, you know, if they are not pure, Brahmapitam naram naranjayati. Bharatri Hari says that even Brahma cannot convince such a person because he's just jnana lava durvidakta. Just by a little bit of knowledge, you know, you are so puffed up. So you, Brahma also cannot do anything with you. So that's the actually story of, you know, people of modern era and postmodern era who especially believe in, you know, such this, doubt is everything or the skeptic ideologies. So, but when we see, even when somebody who has accepted the path of Krishna consciousness, even he, analyzing this, like this particular episode, if they are analyzing the jnana aspects which are there even within bhakti, right? Even bhakti is not devoid of jnana. as Srila Jiva Goswami also speaks about, tat padartha and tvam padartha jnana. That's anyway another topic. But yes, there is a jnana within even the bhakti. And when we see about such upakhyant, such complex explanations, a thought may come even in our heart that actually do we need these things? You know, because now for next 5 chapters, if you see the sort of analysis which is done, one thing is to just know the story. But if you read the commentaries about what the philosophy is behind those stories, actually it's quite complex. It's not so easy. So, if we hear this and if we start to analyze this, a thought may come whether we actually do we need these things. Devotional service is simple. We have heard so many times, right? I had a friend, my father's friend's son, who had visited last week here. And typically, he comes from UK. I mean, he is from here, but he studied in UK. And because of just 1 year of studying in UK, you can understand what is the effect on his personality. So when he came here, I was trying to explain everything about Krishna consciousness in a very scientific manner, like that. And then his reply to me was a googly completely. So I was trying to explain everything very systematic, logical, see this is the reason and all. And then he said, but why bhakti has to be so complex? He said, we don't need answers for everything, right? Bhakti should be simple. You just come in temple and sit nicely. Nice darshan is there. And so why do we need all this philosophy like that? You know, and I was like just explaining basics to him. It's not about Puranjan Upakhyan or like that I was explaining. So oftentimes, what to speak of this neophyte, you know, even the seasoned devotees might find the technicalities as redundant, uninvited for. But then, you know, Shastras speak about just as simplicity is a virtue in Krishna. Krishna is very simple for the simple. Complexity is also a virtue in Krishna, actually. You know, Krishna does not only attract the minds of simple people, he attracts the minds of even the most complicated ones, even the most intellectual ones. So that's why even a typical hard-nosed, you know, no-nonsense style intellectual comes in front of Krishna and wants to understand philosophy, you know, with his typical intellectual analysis. Krishna says, you are welcome. Come in. Maidan mein aao tum. Try to understand. You know, so actually, philosophy of Krishna consciousness is not necessarily devoid of complexity. It's simple for the simple, but if you are an intellectual and if you want to understand, well, there is so much that many lifetimes will not be also sufficient like that. So, the complexity as well as simplicity of Krishna, of devotional service, of devotees, both endear a devotee to Krishna. You know, both of these qualities actually make a devotee, rather make Krishna very dear to the devotee. So this is why, no doubt, Srila Sridhar Swami also says in his Bhagavad Gita Mangalacharan, Shesha Shesha Mukha Vyakhya Chaturyam Tu Eka Vaktrata Dadhanam Adbhutam Vande Paramananda Madhavam. He says, Krishna just by one mouth has given so much knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, Shesh Ashesh Mukha Vyakhya Chaturyam, that the Ananta Shesh has not given through his Ashesh Mukhas, with his unlimited mouths also, what knowledge Ananta Shesh cannot present, that much knowledge Krishna has given only with one mouth. That's Bhagavad Gita, like that. So imagine if that is the standard of Bhagavad Gita, even Ananta Shesh cannot match it up, then what to speak of the tiny intelligence who are trying to understand it, just trying to understand that particular knowledge. So it is agamya, it's actually, and it's very difficult to understand. And that's how we see for millions of years, people are still scratching their brains to understand what Bhagavad Gita is and what's the real message of Bhagavad Gita is. Although Krishna has spoken the message, you know, even without preparation, so to say, just like that, on the battlefield, where it's not a philosophical forum, where Krishna, you know, comes in and speaks. It's a forum for Kshatriyas. And even Arjuna is playing a role of a Kshatriya there. So that's the level of talk of Krishna to a Kshatriya. What to speak of, he speaks to a Brahmana and, you know, further like that. Because Arjuna, of course Arjuna is Mahabhagavat, but then there he is playing the role of a Kshatriya. And that's how he asks so many questions. What does this term mean? What does that term mean? And all that. So intellectual presentation of Krishna consciousness is actually not a dushan, you know. It's a bhushan. It's an ornament, you know, and that is especially meant for a particular kind of mindset also to be attracted towards Krishna. Krishna's completeness is manifested by his ability, by his ability to attract the simple minds as well as the complex minds like that. So that's completeness. Otherwise it will not be complete, right? You know, this way. Besides this, it also, the complexity of Krishna consciousness, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it also engages the mind, those who have that kind of nature, that kind of talents, that kind of analytical abilities and all. So if somebody has an intellectual mindset, so then he has a proper channel, you know, where this can be utilized into. Otherwise, if somebody is very intellectual and if he is not utilized in this philosophical understanding, then his intelligence will go somewhere else within devotee community also. You know, he might intellectually find faults with devotees, right? You know, very intellectual in finding faults with devotees. So, you know, for all these people, there is a philosophy of Krishna consciousness kept. And it also enhances, I'm talking about the benefits of intellectual presentation of Krishna consciousness. It also enhances Krishna's glory in material world. Actually, material world, Krishna's glory is, for that matter, self-manifested, self-effulgent. But especially in material world, if you can do a wonderful presentation of Krishna consciousness in terms of its philosophy, in terms of its culture, its values, everything. So that enhances Krishna's glory in the material world. Take it in any field. You know, there are some singers who are very much fond of singing such tunes that nobody else can follow behind them. They'll sing with such alap and whatever, sargams and whatever else that is added like that. That only he can sing. Nobody else can sing behind. So now somebody may feel like, actually, do we need such singers? should they be there? Nobody else is able to follow. It's our sankirtan. Everybody should be able to participate, right? You know. But then point is, see, Krishna consciousness actually gives a forum, gives a opportunity, gives an opportunity to such a singer who is so shastriya and, you know, with all those alankaras and everything, and also to a simple singer, you know, who just sings in a simple tune, right? After all, many people also like that kind of singing. When they are singing here for Lord's pleasure, and when people come, you see that many of them also appreciate, you know, this sort of singing. Of course, there are forums where, you know, following becomes very important, like aartis and all singing. But especially if it's a performance in front of Lord and, you know, for the pleasure of the devotees. So all such singers also, you know, we see that they also have a space, and they should be given a space like that. And that indeed attracts, you know, some people to Krishna consciousness like that. Some of them are music connoisseurs, and if they come and hear such things, oh, wonderful, you know, they get connected to Krishna consciousness. So, which is a very wonderful point. So, what I mean to say, you take it in any field, you know, you take it in singing or philosophy or deity dressing or management or anything. Doing it in a very intellectual way, very expert way, surely engages the people, those who are having those abilities, and also attracts a certain class of people who may not be attracted by a simplistic presentation of that particular thing. So that's the point. Besides this, our acharyas themselves have actually given quite an intellectual presentation of Krishna consciousness. If you see the books of Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, the kind of perspicacious, you know, cogent analysis that is done by them of spiritual matters is actually, it's confounding. People can really find, my God, what is this? In BHU, Banaras Hindu University, entire department is there on Srila Jiva Goswami's Sandarbha, just to do research. You know, it's not part of Sanskrit department. It's another department. in which these writings are studied like that. So this is how, So we don't have to be overwhelmed. My point is this. We don't have to be overwhelmed by Puranjan Upakhyan's details. Much is in store if you want it from Acharyas. But the point is Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam. So even within Krishna consciousness, actually whatever aspect inspires us, we should accept that aspect and go ahead in bhakti, in cultivation. If we are not very much inspired by complex analytical presentation of Krishna consciousness, okay, then we don't have to say that it's not needed. No, I just stay away from it. And other aspects of Krishna consciousness like kirtans, culture, Vaishnav seva, they are very dear to me. They give great nourishment to me. So I accept them and go ahead. The whole Krishna consciousness, the effort of Krishna consciousness is compared to a war, fighting a war against Maya. Prabhupada also says Krishna consciousness means waging a war against Maya. So in a war, different people may have different weapons to fight with, right? So if you fight with a sword, it's not that you criticize somebody who fights with a gun. If imagine in a war, artillery people start criticizing the infantry, and infantry says that air force is useless, and air force people say that this navy is bogus, that they are not useful. So the point is, we are all together, together, all of them, even though weapons may be different, the procedures may be different, they should fight a war. That's the most important thing. So even within Krishna consciousness, different aspects could actually help us, to fight against the war of Maya. So we should just take whichever is very, very inspiring for us and fight against the war, fight against Maya, which is the war against illusion. That's the point. So that is about appreciating the complexness of stories like Puranjan. Another point which I want to discuss about is, what is the point, what is the relevance which is from this verses in our life? If you see Puranjan Upakhyan, it's mentioned here in its most vivid detail in the Shastras. But body being compared to a city of nine gates, that also appears in other places in Shastras, right? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this in 5th chapter, in the 13th verse. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi navadvara pure dehi naiva kurvan karyan. Krishna says that how within the mind, giving up attachment for all the karmas, if somebody works within this, somebody works with his body, which is compared to navadvare pure dehi, which is compared to a city of nine gates. Actually, knowing this city of nine gates is such a general knowledge in the Vedic time that Krishna is also mentioning this in passing, actually. If in this verse he is talking about mental renunciation, mentally renounce all the activities, and then you, by mentally renouncing all these activity, then you become very happy in this city of nine gates. In passing, it's not about the next question of Arjuna is, what is this city of nine gates? Like that. It's a common knowledge. City of nine gates means body. Like that. Another verse, where Krishna also does something similar is, Mamu petyato punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanah samsiddhim paramamgata. Sometimes when we tell people that this material world is a place of miseries and it's a temporary place, it's like a news to people, But you see how Krishna has put this in Bhagavad Gita. Mamu petyato punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam. He says, those who achieve my abode, those who come to me, they don't come back, those mahatmas, those perfected beings, they don't come back to this material world, which is a place of suffering and it's a temporary place. Again, very much in passing, actually. It's just a detail which everybody knows. There is nothing like great knowledge being disseminated or like that. But then the problem is, what is very normal in Vedic, in Kali Yuga, it becomes like a great wisdom, a great science to be known. And that's how we see that oftentimes all these data, even the simple concepts even within Shastras can actually also be seen as very complex and very technical like that. So if you see, Krishna has used within Bhagavad Gita different analogies for body-soul dualism. సో ఇన్ 2.22 వాసాంసి జిర్ణాని యథా విహాయ నవాని గృహ్ణాతి నరోపరాని తథా శరీరాన్ని విహాయ జిర్ణాన్ని అన్యాన్ని సంయాతి నవాని దే. ఇన్ దిస్ హీ కంపేర్స్ బాడీ టు బి లైక్ అ డ్రెస్ డ్రెస్ దట్ అ పర్సన్ వియర్స్ అండ్ దెన్ గివ్స్ అప్ ఆఫ్టర్ సమ్ టైమ్. సో ఎవ్రీ అనాలజీ ఆర్ ఎవ్రీ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ దట్ కృష్ణ గివ్స్ యాక్చువల్లీ హ్యాస్ అ పర్పస్ ఇన్ మైండ్. ద డ్రెస్ అనాలజీ ఫర్ ద బాడీ ఈజ్ యాక్చువల్లీ మోర్ అబౌట్ చేంజబిలిటీ. How we often change the dress, right? The dress which we wear for some time and then we change it. Shri Shri Radha Vandanachandra Bhagavan ki. So changeability is spoken when Krishna gives this particular example. That we wear the dress for some time and then we change it. So how much time we wear a dress? You know, just for some time like that. Especially today's fashion freaks. how many times you know they wear a dress and then just want to get rid of, right? In our childhood, I would remember, you know, if you have a younger brother, even the clothes, the books, whatever the articles the elder brother has used, they would be handed down. So he would himself use for so much time, and then also, you know, the younger brother would use those books and those tiffins and those clothes and everything like that. But modern times meant, you know, use and throw. You know, right? People don't want to use a particular thing for much time immediately. Everything use and throw. So you want to use a shaver and throw it. You want to use a soap and throw it. You want to use a dress and throw it. You want to use a spouse and throw it. Right? Same mentality will come in relationships also. Right? Use and throw. That's it. You know? So now when we are talking about this particular verse, this particular example of City of Nine Gates, it's talking about in a city a person stays for more time, for a longer time, probably for a lifetime completely. So now this example is talking about not changeability, but it's talking about the attachment that one develops with a body. How body is made home by the soul to stay in. Because in a city, somebody stays for a long time like that. But then he forgets that, the soul forgets that he is the tenant in the body and not the owner. So as soon as owner says quit, move out, then you know he has to move out like that. So another place in Bhagavad Gita, in 14th chapter, 11th verse, Krishna also analyzes this Navadvara Pure Dehi, this city of nine gates. So in today's verse and in 14th chapter, we'll make a comparison of it and draw some points. So if you see in this verse, Khadyot, Khadyota and Avir Mukhi, the two eyes, the two gates of the body, which here mean eyes, two eyes, they are given the name Khadyota and Avir Mukhi. These are the feminine names because Dwara in Sanskrit is actually feminine. So that's how the names are feminine. And Prabhupada translates them as torchlight and glowworm. So one of the Khadyota actually means Vamanetra Rupa, Srila Sridhar Swami says. Means it's talking about the left eye. And Avir Mukhi is talking about the right eye, Dakshinetra Lakshana. So as Prabhupada also has put in the purport, the right side of the body is stronger than the left side of the body. Shruti quotes, you know, Shruti is quoted for this. Tasma dakshinah ardhah atmanah viryavattarah. Dakshin ardh jo hai atma ka, matlab sharir ka, yahan pe atma ka ardh sharir hai, viryavattarah, wo balwan hai zyada. So through these two gates, which are the two eyes, Puranjan, who is said to be dyumat sakha, goes out. So what is Dyumat Sakha? One who has a friend called Dyumat or Dyuman. So what is the point of this? The point of this is Puranjan, who is the soul within the body, interacts with this world through two eyes, especially the form. You know, he is said to be going to the city of Vibrajitam, the form. So two eyes help one to see different forms in this material world. But then for that, he has to carry a friend. There has to be this friend who is known. What is the name of the friend? Dyuman, which is sun. So actually our eyes cannot see anything if there is no assistance of the sun. Sun, if sun is there, then only these eyes can actually have some utility. Otherwise they can't see anything. So when you talk about 14th chapter, 11th verse of Bhagavad Gita, it says, सर्वद्वारेषु देहेस्मिन् प्रकाश उपजायते ज्ञानं यदा तदा विद्यात् विवृद्धं सत्वमित्युत. So it says that when all the gates, all the doors of this body, which the 9 gates, when they are illuminated with light, then illuminated with knowledge, then you should know that the Sattvagun is very vibruddha, is very prominent in such a personality. So now, these gates of the body being illuminated with light means what? You know, is it that eyes sparkle, you know, with some light, like you see in the horror movies, right? You know, some light is there in the eyes, or in the mouth some bulb is seen, like that. Is it that? No, that's not the point. The point is, here the verse is talking about interaction with the outside world is through these gates. So the verse is talking about, is this interaction with the world knowledgeable? Check your acquisition of knowledge, that is the interaction with the world, whether it is with knowledge. That's the point. So here the light means the knowledge of understanding what input is actually worth taking in, what input is not worth taking in, where my consciousness can be allowed to go through this gate of the eyes, and where my consciousness should not be going. This particular knowledge is desired, and that's considered actually the enlightenment or illumination of these gates. See, if the doorway is dark, if there is not much light, who comes in, you will not know, right? Usually you see the whole building, even in the night, could be dark, but the doorways are always lighted, actually. There will be some light kept on the doorways, you know, and if the securities and all, they are there, obviously it has to be there. So point is, through doorways, anybody can come in like that. So that's why we have to be careful. So illuminating these gates means actually that being careful about what inputs are taken in and what inputs are actually going out, where our consciousness is going. It especially becomes all the more important in this era where so much of advertisement industry is there, always inviting all our gates of the body, you know, to interact with the material world. Eyes want to see something very beautiful, and you know, nose wants to smell something beautiful, you know, tongue wants to taste something beautiful. In this fashion, you know, all the gates of the body. So the advertisement industry, especially in today's world, so much bombardment is there, that person actually is, there's just no discrimination about, you know, what inputs are good for me and what inputs are not good for me, like that. So this is why it's very important that we understand the way to illuminate these gates, actually. You know, so much is advertisement. I was passing through a place here to meet a friend, and there was a big billboard. You know, all over Pune, you see so many billboards advertising homes, right? It's like one of the major thing, homes. And the billboard said, "For the chosen elites, beginning with you." It said. And there was a, you know, advertisement of one big mansion and some row houses and all that. "For the chosen elites, beginning with you." You know, very satisfying for ego, right? You know, person as soon as he hears, "Yeah, I am the one. He's going on scooter probably or in auto, but I am the chosen elite, you know, beginning with yourself, like that. So you see, these advertisement people, actually, they so nicely, so cunningly, they put in your heart that dissatisfaction. Everything in your life is wrong. You know, your car is wrong. You know, your gadgets are wrong. Your dress is wrong. Your home is wrong. Your spouse is wrong. Your life is wrong. Your wife is wrong. Everything is wrong about your life. Just change it. You know, that's all the advertisement industry is, right? Everything is advertised so much that you give it up, what you are currently having, and take this. As soon as person sees this, he should just jump and run to shop. Shop till you drop, either physically or financially, whatever, you know, like that. So this is why, you know, a sober person actually understands this is so much being bombarded in me, you know. But it's like opening the gate, you know, for any inputs to come in. Do I want this, actually? So Shastras say that, you know, this kind of, especially rat race, you know, to achieve more and more and more, that one gets into because of the bombardment of advertisements. So, you know, everybody wants to join in the rat race then. So we are not against ambition or being ambitious. But we don't want to be manipulable. You know, these people are manipulating actually our desires and all that. So we want to join the rat race immediately seeing the advertisement. Ah, I also want to have chosen elite, you know, like that. Well, you have to work throughout your life. Where is the question of spiritual life then? You know, if the dreams are so big, which are like much beyond exorbitant for our stage. So that's why problem with the rat race, as they say, the greatest problem with the rat race is even if you win the race, you still remain a rat. That's the problem with rat race. You know, you begin another race like that. So this is why it's very important that we stop actually tickling ourselves with all these so-called pleasures, you know, expectations of pleasures that the material world is offering like that. You know, when a child is there, in childhood, if you tickle him, gudgudi karna, ha ha ha, the child, if you tickle him, he is very happy, he's smiling. So externally, it looks like child is very happy, you know, that's the way to award him happiness. So if that's the definition of happiness, just hire a person who will tickle the child throughout the life, right? And then that's the happiness, you know, whenever you just tickle him, oh, he's so happy, like that. But then as we progress in the life, we understand, no, that's not the happiness, right? We need something constructive in life, something substantial in life. And that can become a source of happiness like that. So similarly, when the people grow up, you know, the tickling could change from, you know, just physical tickling to probably some job or some objects or some gadgets and all that. But still actually it's a tickling. Shastras say, stop this tickling and get to the real stuff, the real stuff of human life, which will actually satisfy you like that. So this is what is very important. Through all this analogy, we understand this point that the gates of the body, you know, we can't be so unconscious about it. You know, we have to be careful to especially see what the inputs are about like that. I'll end with this. Srila Jiv Goswami in Skandha Puran says, and now it's very interesting that even Srimad Bhagavatam, on a completely different note, it compares the Srimad Bhagavatam as sun. And there is this famous verse in the 11th canto, Yanasthaya naro rajan na pramadyet karhichit dhavan nimilyava netre na paten na skhaledeha. So if you see, there two eyes are compared. Dhav means, what the verse says is, Krishna consciousness path is so wonderful, so broad, so without obstacles, that one can run on this path even with the eyes closed. You know, so the eyes there, Srila Sridhar Swami says that they are compared to Shruti and Smriti, the knowledge of Shruti and Smriti. And Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to the sun like that. So actually, even if somebody doesn't have Shruti and Smriti knowledge, you know, we talked in the first part about the complexity of the subject matter. But even if somebody doesn't have the Shruti and Smriti knowledge, the path of bhakti is so great that the sun of Krishna, the sun of Bhagavat, the sun of Krishna consciousness will be blazing and one can run on the path of bhakti. You know, he will not face any difficulties. In Sandarbha Srila Jiva Goswami's case, quotes Skanda Puran and he says, Sakrat Uccharitam Yena Hari Riti Akshara Dvayam Baddha Parikarastena Mokshaya Gamanam Prati. Srila Jiva Goswami says, anybody who has chanted Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Lord Hari's name, he has done Parikara Bandhan. What is Parikara Bandhan? Parikara Bandhan means, in former times, whenever somebody wanted to go for a long journey, he would tie a cloth on his vest. It's like he's geared up now for a long journey. Cloth bandhiya, you know, we'll go ahead like that. So Srila Jiva Goswami says, anybody who has accepted the process of chanting Hare Krishna, he has done a parikara bandhan. You know, we have actually tied a cloth on our waist, or in English they say roll off your sleeves, right? So we have rolled up our sleeves, mokshaya gamanam prati, he says, on the path back home, back to Godhead, like that. So that's why now we have taken that path. So today or tomorrow we have to run actually on this path. Let's make a choice to run on this path. And because it's a very path free from obstacles, there is no obstacle. So we actually, you know, we can run on this particular path. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was with Nishikant Sanyal at one particular point. They were driving through their Rolls Royce in the Darjeeling hills. you know, in the region of Darjeeling Hills. And Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was there, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, and Nishikant Sanyal, Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu was there. So when they were in the Darjeeling Hills, and it's so high, and there is on the other side, you say, there is a valley. So they were on a very top point. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati told Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu, open the door. You know, it's a moving vehicle. And he's saying, open the door. And Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu said, you want me to open the door? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, yes, open the door. So he said, should I stop the vehicle and open the door? He said, open the door. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, so Nishikant Sanyal opened the door. And you can imagine, you know, the vehicle is actually on the edge of the valley, and you open the door and see the valley. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said that, can I push you down from this vehicle? And he was like shocked, what is Guru Maharaj saying like that? Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu is Bhakti Siddhanta's disciple. Should I push you down? And then Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu was not answering. And again Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati asked, should I push you down? You know. And then Nishikant Sanyal, Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu said, yes Prabhupada, you can push me down. Because I know on the other side of the valley, you will be there to protect me. So this is actually the devotee's case. You know, so sometimes we see a devotee might leave his body, and the kind of circumstances which they are there in a devotee's leaving the body and all, they may be sometimes externally seen as congenial. Sometimes they may not be so much congenial for Krishna consciousness. But Krishna is there on the other side actually to protect us. Anyway, everybody has to end the sojourn in the material world. How he ends is not actually material, but how he has lived, that's actually very, very important. And we have to have this faith that Krishna is there on the other side of the, you know, other side of the deal, other side of the road to protect us. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Pramana.